Amen. Make your way to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Just a couple areas of correction, being that we're going to be talking about conflict. Darren, there is a sequel to Incredibles. There was an Incredibles 2. Okay. And secondly, we have pitmasters, Rick and Julie Young, providing the meal. We're not using leftovers. We have pitmasters bringing food, barbecue style. So that's why those of you who are thinking, I've been here for 10 years, I'm going, you're welcome to join too. Genesis chapter 13, if you could make your way there as we continue our sermon series, as we are going to learn lessons in faith from Abram. Genesis chapter 12, we were introduced to Abram yesterday. Abraham, he will become. And in chapter 12, we see the beginning of faith. We see the beginning of Abraham's faith. God choosing Abraham, not because he was special, not because he was great, but because God is great, because he is gracious. And he will fulfill his promises even through a sinful people. And we see this experience, this act of faith, this trusting of God. And instantly from that, we see Abraham go through a trial and instantly go to Egypt to take things in his own control. And that's often what happens, isn't it? We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and then trials happen to test that faith. Trials happen to expose that faith and so God can refine it so that we might experience that close fellowship with him. Well, chapter 12, we see Abraham learning that lesson, or is learning one of those lessons. And in chapter 13, we're going to see that he's now making his way back to where it all began, where his salvation began. And I'll get to chapter 13 here in a little bit. But chapter 13, we learn a lesson in faith again from Abraham regarding conflict. How do we handle conflict? Remember, Moses is writing this Genesis for the people of Israel as they're going into the promised land. They were scared. They had made numerous mistakes. They needed to learn lessons about what they've gone through. They needed to learn to trust the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. By the way, Moses had made mistakes too regarding conflict. See, all of us in this room are going to make mistakes when it comes to conflict. But we need to learn lessons, don't we? So that we might grow in our faith. One of the examples of Moses' mess-ups we can find, and I'm going to show you how this correlates to Genesis chapter 13 in a little bit. But let me remind you of a couple of Moses' mess-ups. In Exodus chapter 17, we see that the nation of Israel had been led out of Egypt, and at the Lord's command, there at the community of Israel left the wilderness of sin and moved to the place from place, and eventually they camped in Rephidim. But there wasn't any water for the people to drink. Keep going. So once more, the people complained against Moses, "Give us water to drink." they demanded. Quiet, Moses replied. Why are you complaining against me? And why are you testing the Lord? But, I mean, the circumstances weren't good. They were being tormented by their thirst, and they continued to argue. Why'd you bring us out of Egypt? Are you trying to kill us? Our children, our livestock with thirst? Then Moses cried to the Lord, what am I going to do with these people? They're ready to stone me. Then the Lord said to Moses, walk out in front of the people. Take your staff, the one you used when you struck the water in the Nile, and call some of the elders of Israel to join you, and I'll stand before you on the rock at Mount Sinai. Strike the rock, and the water will come gushing out. Then the people will be able to drink. So Moses struck the rock as he was told, and water gushed out as the elders looked on. Moses named the place Massa, which means test, and Meribah, remember that word, which means arguing. Because the people of Israel argued with Moses and tested the Lord. Is the Lord here with us or not? So in this example of conflict between Moses and the people of Israel, Moses responds to conflict correctly. He does what God tells him to do. So fast forward as they're entering or about to enter into the promised land, and we have a problem again. Numbers chapter 20 references this. Now, again, all the people had gone through the wilderness. They messed up, and through that generations have gone by, and again they're coming to this place. They're in front of, right ready to go into the land of Cana. And we have a similar situation, don't we? And God tells Moses once again, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them, give them drink to the congregation and their cattle. But look what Moses did with this conflict. Moses took the staff before the Lord, and he commanded them, or commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said, hear me now, you rebels. I don't remember God saying that. Shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and livestock. Now, if you're thinking, well, that's the similar story. That's the same thing that happened. These are two different events that happened to the nation of Israel. One, he handled correctly. The second one, he didn't. And God punished Moses for how he handled conflict. We read about it in Deuteronomy chapter 32. He says, because you broke faith with me in the midst of the people of Israel at the waters of Meribah, in the wilderness of Zin, and because you did not treat me as holy in the midst of the people, for you shall see the land before you, but you won't be able to go in there. So why this story as a precursor to chapter 13? Well, number one, I want you to see the humility of Moses. Talking about his own mistakes regarding conflict, but also the Israelites would need to be reminded of this story. They would be reminded of these stories as they read Genesis chapter 13. Why? Because in verses 7 and 8, we'll get there, the word for arguing, the word for conflict, the word for strife is Meribah, to remind them about conflict. Sometimes we get these triggers in Scripture to remind us what we should and shouldn't do, don't we? Chapter 13 should be a reminder, I hope, and will be a reminder to all of us when we come to conflict, and we will all come to conflict. How should believers act in faith regarding conflict? If someone is provoking you to anger, conflict, it is said once, to be human is to quarrel. So how do you handle conflict? If you're like me, we better listen up. In fact, when we look at narratives throughout all of Scripture, we see discord, conflict is a common thing amongst God's people. Cain didn't like his brother Abel. Jacob sent 10 sons, sold Joseph into slavery. Even in the New Testament, we read, there's a fight in the church in Philippi. Two women are arguing, Euodia and Syntyche. The church of Corinth was separating into religious factions. Believers were even suing one another. All examples of sinful conduct. But some conflicts maybe aren't sin. Paul and Barnabas got into a dispute about John Mark regarding a mission trip, on whether he should accompany them or not. The end result would lead to a separation between Paul and Barnabas. The issue we must consider, all of us here, is how do we handle conflict biblically? Is it possible to handle conflict with God at the center? Conflict will be lessons that all of us have to learn if we are to grow in our faith. Abraham was a brand new believer, and he is learning lessons about faith. He's learning lessons about trust in this God he put his trust in. See, faith is not just something that saves us. Faith is a lifestyle for all believers who walk with Jesus. We have lessons to learn in our faith. So how do we handle conflict with Jesus at the center? Well, that's where we turn to Abraham in chapter 13. I promise we will get through this. In any conflict, I want you to see this, and we're going to read the passage. In any conflict you find yourself, number one we learn from Abraham is this. His motivation in conflict is to honor God first. Look at Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. Let's read those. I keep cutting out, don't I? So Abraham went up from Egypt. He and his wife and all that he had, and Lot was with him, into the Negev. Now Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and gold, and he journeyed on from Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning. Between Bethel and Ai to the place where he had made an altar at first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. In these first four verses, we see Abraham going back to where he was supposed to be. Remember chapter 12, he went to Egypt because he was scared. He wasn't trusting the Lord, so he walked away, and that led to him lying. And it seems to be that he's repented and is now coming back to the Lord. Listen, the only way our motivation, the only way God can be the center of any conflict that glorifies him is he must be first in our thoughts. If you're not walking with God, if I'm not walking with God, when conflict arises, our nature is to respond in the flesh. Our nature is to send the mean text. Our nature is to post our thought and our opinion. Our nature is to do what we feel. All of this is a result of our walk with God. Abram, who had been out of fellowship with God, he was out of God's geographical place of blessing when he went to Egypt, chapter 12. Now in chapter 13, Abram rebounds by confessing his sin, and he moves back to Bethel, which means the house of God. Do you see the correlation? See, the conflict's about ready to take place. We're going to read in a few verses. But the very start of verses 1 through 4 gives you an idea of Abram's mindset going into conflict. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, what is our mindset before any conflict comes? Are we walking with God? Abraham had to get back into fellowship with his Lord. He went back to his original place. He went back to the original commitment of salvation in the Lord. This place, this walk with God, this beginning reminder of our relationship with Christ, this is where we need to be at all times. For a Christian who has been lured, I feel like it's a lure, but it's not. We're lured, but it is a lure, because lures, anyway. I'm looking at my fisherman over here. For a Christian who has been lured by the world, who faces conflict on a daily basis, Abram reminds us the only place of blessing is to go back to the Lord. Go back to your original commitment to Christ and trust God again to the house of the Lord. Conflict is going to happen. Make sure you have the armor of God. Your walk with God, our fellowship with him, will dictate where our conflict goes. And the devil is ready to put gas on conflict. Look at verses 5 through 7 in our verses this morning. And Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them, dwelling together. Uh-oh, here comes conflict. For their possessions were so great that they couldn't dwell together. And there was Meribah. Conflict, strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. As we look at this verse in this context, again, verses 1 through 4 tells us that Abraham was in fellowship with God, and the devil is going to work to cause division in the house. Charles Spurgeon once said, "The devil doesn't go after a dead horse." Abram was walking with God, and the devil loves when Abraham was in Egypt. When Abram repented and heads back to fellowship, well, here comes temptation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in conflict, I ask you, as I've asked myself all this week, am I in Egypt or am I in Bethel? Because that will dictate how I handle conflict. Here's what Egypt looks like. Lying. Sowing division. Complaining. Forgetting what's really important. These are all at odds with fellowship with God. I find when I'm not close to God, fleshly conflict is right at the door. Is that true for you? So we see Abram walking with God, and his motivation is to honor God. So the second thing we're going to see about handling conflict biblically, we see that his motivation not only is to honor God first, but his motivation is to be a testimony to anybody who's watching. Look at verse 7 with me. And there was strife, there was conflict, there was Meribah between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At the time, the Canaanites and the Pezerites were dwelling in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "There, let there be no Meribah between you and me and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are brothers." Circle that. Highlight that. Circle it. Highlight it. Remind yourself of it. Memorize it. How can there be strife amongst brothers? Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, I'll go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, I'll go to the left. But look at verse 7. Just keep it right on there for a second. I highlighted the verse, at the time the Canaanites and the Pezerites were dwelling in the land. Why is that important? Well, commentary suggests this. That unbelievers, these are the unbelievers, Canaanites and Pezerites. These are the very people that Abram is preaching to about his newfound faith in God. We see it in verse 4 of chapter 12. It says he called out to his Lord. The word means to preach in Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. The idea here, what commentary suggests is this. They are watching us. Who's the they? The unbelievers. They are looking at believers who now say they follow the God Yahweh. And Abram saying, "I want to be a testimony." Abram's desire, verse 8, is to avoid the bickering that would become a poor testimony amongst the surrounding people. Listen to me. Nothing causes non-believers to mock God more than believers fighting. Listen to what Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 13. "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciple." So what does Abram do? Verse 9 says they separate. Go back to our verses. Now, This is not your pretext for divorce. We fight too much. Abram separated from Lot. I mean, this is my life verse now. But listen to me. Separation can be a testimony of God. In the New Testament, we see this. I referenced it before, but Paul and Barnabas part ways because of a disagreement concerning John Mark. Now, we don't see that there's any sin that was taking place. Just look at Acts chapter 15. Just look at it real quickly. It says, after some time, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing. Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark, but Paul disagreed strongly since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. Their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas, and as he left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. Does it sound like everyone was freaking out? We know that that's not the case, because later on, when Paul's in jail toward the end of his ministry, he asked for John Mark to be sent for. This wasn't personal. They had a disagreement, and they handled it biblically. So separation can be something that God uses to the glory of God. Now look at verses 8 and 9 of Genesis again, 13. It says, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And at the time, the Canaanites and the Pezerites were dwelling in the land. Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife between me and you. Separate yourself from me. Abram was walking with God. He was a spiritual man, and he seeks to solve the problem. He says, we're brothers. We shouldn't fight like this. That should hit home. For all of us who know Christ as our Lord and Savior. Abram permits Lot to take any portion of land that he wants. Abram would take the left, what was left. Abram makes this humble offer to Lot, showing him that he is in fellowship with God. Abram was older. He was the chief of their tribe, their clan. He was promised by God. And he allows his nephew to have first choice. What a testimony. What a testimony to the people who were watching. Abram had a divine viewpoint, and he knew God would take care of him. That he would keep his promises. Abram had learned that a servant of God must not strife, must not meribah. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy to the Christ follower, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. Christians, we have personality conflicts, don't we? We have problems at times, don't we? These lead to strife. These lead to trouble. They lead to conflict. And Genesis 13 is telling us, by faith, look away from your selfish interests and let God take care of the situation. In handling conflict biblically, know this. And this is my third point from Genesis 13. Number one, motivation. Handling conflict biblically, we see from Abram that his motivation is to honor God first. Secondly, we see his motivation is to be a testimony to others. And then number three, we must be reminded when handling conflict biblically that God's purpose will always prevail. Look at verses 14 through 18 with me. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes, Abram. Look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, I'll give to you and to your offspring forever. I'll make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that one can count the dust of the earth. Your offspring also can be counted. Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I'll give it to you." So Abram moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron. And there he built an altar to the Lord. It seems from this passage, and again, to understand when we go through conflict, that to be reminded that God's purpose always prevails, the Lord now appears in the midst of this conflict to reassure Abram. I mean, I have no doubt that Abram must have had some very anxious moments when he made the decision to let Lot make the choice first. But what we see here is Abram did not lose what God told him he would bless him with. Look at verse 18 again. So Abram moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron. And there he built an altar to the Lord. Why is this important? Well, the word Mamre means prosperity. The word Hebron means fellowship. The idea here is that because of how Abram handled fellowship, God would not only prosper him. That doesn't necessarily mean you get what you want. In this case, it did. But you get both prosper and fellowship. Do you see how important that is? God wants us to know when we respond biblically to conflict, we get both prosperity and fellowship. Now, don't think health, wealth, and prosperity. Prosperity means closeness to God. Following God's will, following God's command, doing what God says. That is prosperous. Because of Abram's faith, his trust in God, God has become an increasing reality to his life. Abram would never regret this decision. Jesus says the same for us. Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all things will be added to you." Do you see? The idea here is priorities. The idea here regarding conflict is God first. When conflict arises, consider what you have in Christ. Can you really lose anything, Christ follower? Some people might gain the world regarding conflict, but you have gained Christ. Your joy and your peace are more valuable. Your fellowship with Jesus is more valuable than winning. So what's the application? Here's some application we can consider regarding conflict. Number one, because again, conflict's going to happen. Don't get many amens for that. So conflict's coming. How's our walk with Jesus? Where your walk is with Jesus will tell a lot about how you'll handle conflict. Will you complain? Will you get angry? Will you grumble? Will you gossip? Will you sow seeds of division? All this is telltaling signs of where your walk is with Jesus. Repent. Get out of Egypt and start walking to Bethel and the house of the Lord. Number two, what's your testimony when it comes to conflict? Do you have to get your way? Are you the boss? Do you let people know you're the boss? Are you intimidating? Gandhi, who wasn't a believer, was quoted as saying this to a Christian pastor: "I like your Christ. I don't like your Christians. They are so unlike your Christ." Listen, we're not going to be perfect when it comes to conflict. And I would tell any unbeliever that says, "I can't go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites," I would say, well, that's true. Because this is a hospital for sinners. Don't put your trust in Christians. Put your trust in Christ. He will never let you down. He died for your sins, not me. I'm going to make lots of mistakes. I'm going to be like Moses. My hope is I'll humble myself, or I will be humbled. I definitely prefer walking in humility than being humble, but if that's what it takes. What's your testimony in conflict? Is it let love cover a multitude of sins? Is it I have to be right? Is it unity? What are people saying about us? And then finally, and really this is where it all begins. To some of you who do not know what it means to have saving faith in Jesus Christ, you can't honor God. You can't please the God who made you without saving faith starting. Hebrews told us that. Hebrews 11. It is impossible to please God without faith. And for some of you, it starts with saving faith. Truly putting your trust alone in Jesus Christ for his death, burial, and resurrection for your sins. You're not trusting in anything else. Your good deeds, your church attendance, the fact that you grew up in a Christian home. You alone recognize that you have sinned before a holy God and you need forgiveness. And the only forgiveness that can be forgiven is through Jesus Christ. Put your faith and trust in him alone. And then begin to walk in faith, like Abram. Brothers and sisters, conflict will take place. But I hope you're reminded in Genesis 13 what it means to walk in faith and handle conflict biblically. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reminders once again how to trust you in all circumstances. The timing of your word is impeccable. I've made mistakes. I've sinned. I've been in Egypt during conflict. And Lord, I want to be in Bethel. I want to be with you so that you're glorified and so that people see you. May you get all the glory, for it's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, let's stand and sing one final song.